August of 2022, shortly after he was appointed to the University of Minnesota's Board of Regents, becoming the first Native person to be a part of the school's governing body. Tad talked with us on how he was appointed to the board, what the board does, and why it's important for the school to finally have Native representation and dialogue with tribal nations.
I'm certainly honored to be the first Native American regent, but, you know, I've got a voice and I'm going to use it. And I'm not naturally an outgoing person. I just, sometimes you're in the right place at the right time and you have to speak for people who haven't been heard.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Miigwech for joining us today. Native Lights is a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Every week we have wonderful conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. These are policymakers, healers, entrepreneurs, artists, you name it. We talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around purpose and amplifying Native voices. So Leah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. You're out of the state right now.
I am at Glacier National Park, and there's plenty of wildlife that also want to make themselves known. So these nice, lovely big birds, I think maybe ravens, crows, may want to join in from time to time.
That's great. I mean, I'm glad that you found a place and a little bit of time to take the interview out in Montana there. It's great. So today we're chatting with Tad Johnson. Tad is a Bowie's Fort Band of Chippewa citizen, a retired professor, a former tribal attorney, and he's also a lecturer. Recently, he became the first Native person appointed to the University of Minnesota Board of Regents, where he will represent the 8th Congressional District. He is also currently a senior advisor on government affairs for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, and he's got a lot of things going on. It's quite clear that he's very knowledgeable, and I can't wait to talk with him about it.
Before we get started, I just want to make sure that we mention what the Board of Regents is at the University of Minnesota. So when the University of Minnesota was founded, the Board of Regents was created as the governing body or the governing board. And then from the U of M website, the Regents site, it says that Regents articulate a vision for the university and work to ensure the University of Minnesota fulfills its mission of education, research, and outreach for the benefit of the people of Minnesota, the nation, and the world. That's a big job. So it's really nice to have some really strong Native representation on the Board of Regents.
Crows agree.
Yeah.
All right. And Tad Johnson is here. Bonjour, Tad.
I'm Tad Johnson. I'm in Duluth, Minnesota, which is where I grew up and have my home. I'm a member of the Bowie's Fort Band of Chippewa, part of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, and I'm happy to be here.
We always like to ask, you know, how are you doing? How's your family doing during this, you know, stage of the pandemic, the year 2022? How are you doing?
We're all doing okay. Actually, we've all gotten vaccinated. We all had a weird malady during the winter that home testing showed we didn't have COVID. Later on, my doctor said, well, you might have. So anyway, she said, you actually have to be checked out in a clinic. And we never were. So we had all the symptoms that are classic. At least, so I brought home, that was my fault because I was out recruiting at that point for the two graduate programs I used to direct at UMD on a Master of Tribal Administration and Governance and a Master of Tribal Resource and Environmental Stewardship, which are still programs at UMD I highly recommend. So, but I went to an indoor powwow at Fond du Lac, and then I went to Bemidji, I went to Red Lake and Leech Lake, and was trying to recruit students. And anyway, that was my downfall. At some point during that week, I got infected, or I really got a bad case of the flu. So either way, we all got sick, so, except my youngest kid.
What's at the top of your mind right now?
This is really rudimentary, but I'm learning to become a regent, so which is causing a me to relearn a lot of things. So I'm a professor who's has to take classes from individuals right now. So, and I'm trying to be a good student so that there's a great turnaround here, turnabout.
Before we get into that, I was curious, you know, you retired right before that appointment. Could you talk about your lengthy retirement? I'm being sarcastic. It was like, what, 10 days or something like that?
Yeah. Well, I had let it be known to the gentleman who had the position before that I might be interested in attempting to run for it at some point. And usually what you do is you go through a committee process first, and then both the House, it's one of the few things both the House and the Senate vote on. When the legislature's out of session, the governor appoints. And so David McMillan stepped down, and I got wind of that. And so I kind of called and said, what are the ropes? I called a few friends, one had been a regent, a couple of them, understood the rules and said, we're going to have to cut all your ties with the U of M. And I was going to retire on June 20th anyway, from my job as senior director of American and Indian Tribal Nation Relations, and go back to UMD. I was going to go back part-time doing 25% directing the two graduate programs that I helped create. And I'll live a fairly calm, sedate life. And then that came up right around the time. It was a week before I was going to retire from my position with Karen Diver was technically my boss and Joan Gable was her boss. So it was a nice job. But when Karen got there, I was about to turn 65 this last summer, which I've already passed. And so I thought, well, I could just go back to being a lawyer and try for this regent position. So I let Governor Walz know that I was interested in it, sent my resume, and a lot of the Minnesota tribes weighed in on my behalf, and I got to know all of them quite well because I've been in Indian Affairs for 35 years. So I've worked for Mille Lacs off and on since 1987, and actually was on the hiring committee for Melanie Benjamin, so when she was attempting to be commissioner of administration back in the late 80s. So we've been friends for a long time. So she called the governor, and just totally by coincidence, he was on the reservation like a month or two before all this happened. And she grabbed me and she grabbed him and she said, Governor, I want him to be the next regent you appoint. And the president of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, Kathy Chavers, weighed in, and the mayor of Duluth called some of the Duluth legislators. And so I had the head of the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, Robert Larson, called in. I called and asked for support from the union at UMD, and they were behind me. And then Education Minnesota, I guess, called in. I don't know all the governor, but he called Melanie Benjamin 2 weeks after I sent my application and said, okay, now I've had like 80 calls on Tad Johnson. So, you know, call off the dogs or something. So anyway, you know, I got interviewed by a small group of folks from the governor's office, and they said they were probably going to make an announcement the following week. And the following week, the Board of Regents, a few things were happening. I was going to turn 65. The Board of Regents was having a meeting and then having a retreat. And folks were telling me it would be logical to get appointed and to have you go to the retreat if they're thinking of you. And I was saying, hey, can you be in Red Wing this afternoon? And I said, well, Red Wing and Ely are not real close together. It's like one end of the state or the other. But if you think it's a good idea for me to go to Red Wing, I'll go. So I drove down, and apparently around 3 o'clock, the governor appointed me. So somewhere during the drive between Ely and Red Wing, I got appointed to be a regent. And apparently the governor's appointment was it. I became a regent in that instant under this system. So Dave McMillan's term runs until February of 2023. So that gubernatorial appointment will last for approximately 6 months. And then I have to actually run for the seat myself. And all 201 legislators, all of the House, all of the Senate vote on me on whether or not I will be a regent for the 6-year term.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Tad Johnson, a member of the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa. My sister Lee and I spoke with him in August of 2022, shortly after he was appointed to the University of Minnesota's Board of Regents, becoming the first Native person to be a part of the school's governing body.
Could you just, you know, talk about the importance of having a Native voice on this board, and what are some of your priorities?
When you're a regent, you're the trustee for the university, for the entire University of Minnesota system. So all the campuses, the extension service, et cetera. So if somebody is suing the University of Minnesota, for example, it's the regents they're suing. And when I would apply for grants as a professor, it would be the Board of Regents applying for the grant. So for all intent and purposes, this is going to sound really unusual, and it's unusual because it's the first time I've ever said it, but we are the University of Minnesota. Somebody said that to me and I said, you're kidding. And they said, no, the Board of Regents is technically and legally the University of Minnesota. So all lawsuits go to us, all, you know, final decisions on budgets and many major decisions. I had three programs go through the Board of Regents, and everybody was nervous about it. And everybody, the time I worked at Morrill Hall, they were constantly concerned about what the Board of Regents was going to think about things. And so anyway, I became intrigued by the Board of Regents. I didn't realize, because the people I knew were pretty nice. And apparently the process of becoming a regent can be pretty brutal, because you actually have to go through a legislature, the legislative process. Apparently I was told by my handlers there that each of them has their own degree of trauma after going through the legislative process. So I haven't suffered that yet. So, I mean, and it's possible I could be voted down. It's possible I won't make it. So, you know, I'm prepared for that if, you know. And I've worked for legislative bodies before, mainly as a staff person. I was one of those guys who sat next to the chairman of the committee and whispered as much Indian law in their ear as I could during a hearing. And I did that for 5 years. And then I was in front of the Congress as the chairman of the National Indian Gaming Commission. So that's also a nerve-wracking experience. So I will be both subject to sort of something of a legislative colonoscopy. And if I make it that, I will be a regent, and suddenly I'll be able to be up on the panel asking questions. But I can do that for 6 months at least. So you're either at the table or you're on the menu. And arguably for the last 171 years, we've been on the menu. So as Native American people. So the way I got the job with the university was going down and complaining about the fact that the federal government consults with tribes, the state government consults with tribes, but the great thought leader of Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, doesn't consult with tribes. Now, we did to create our programs in the American Indian Studies Department, the University of Minnesota Duluth, and the American Indian Studies Department in the Twin Cities probably did too, but I said, tribes need accountants, and we need training in governance and natural resource development and agriculture and all these other things. And we're in the top 20 employers in the state, and yet the business school doesn't study our economies. The Humphrey School, the great school of governance, was totally ignoring the 11 tribal governments, the 11 sovereign nations of Minnesota. And so this was a very progressive vice president of equity and diversity. Rather than kicking me out of his office, a job got created that was pretty much a right perfect fit for me. So I didn't necessarily want it, but I was kind of like, I asked my wife, should I take this? And she was kind of like, well, I think you're perfect for it. And I think you probably have a duty to do it. So go down. And so the first thing I did was to make sure that the president was meeting with tribes, because that hadn't happened before. And then we got American Indian Advisory Boards going, which is a state law that they'd been ignoring. And then they were ignoring a federal law on Native American Graves Protection Repatriation Act. The U of M went down and dug up about 186 people along the Membrees River region in New Mexico, what's now New Mexico. Well, and these folks were buried with something called Membrees pots, which on the black market were worth, probably upwards of $200 million. And the Wiseman Art Museum was kind of hanging on to them. And the bones got sent over to the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, and they had Hamline University storing them. But there was really no plan to speak of to send these folks back to where they belonged and their funerary objects along with them. So I got there, and folks knew about it, but they didn't know how to approach it. But when I worked for Mo Udall as a deputy counsel, that was the first act we worked on. It was like everybody was astonished that the Smithsonian and other museums had the bones of Native Americans, their funerary objects, and something called objects of cultural patrimony, which is something of great importance to a tribe. And so the U of M was responsible for these, and I guess the Board of Regents was responsible for these bones and these funerary objects. And I did a memo to, the higher ups, and I sort of felt ignored, but maybe they were working on it. President Gable got on it as soon as she heard about it. They did create a group that got together, and Kat Hayes, who's an excellent professor, was the person who pointed all this out to me. I said, do they know they can have all their funding withheld from the feds? I mean, not just for those programs, all their federal funding can be withheld. And they seem fairly nonchalant about that. The media never covered that. That was kind of interesting. On New Year's weekend, there was a little small article in the Variety section saying U of M returns things to Pueblos of New Mexico and Hopi tribe. It left out the breaking of the federal law for 30 years by a major university, et cetera. So that was all my introduction to the university. And I'm not saying that everything they do, I'm coming across as fairly negative here. I mean, the University of Minnesota had the first American Indian Studies department, and I'm happy that, I'm certainly honored to be the first Native American regent, but, I've got a voice and I'm going to use it. And I'm not naturally an outgoing person. I just, sometimes you're in the right place at the right time, and you have to speak for people who haven't been heard. And I had to do that as a lawyer. I mean, I hated making public presentations. I hated being in law school and getting called on. And but I ended up realizing that I have to do public speaking in order to, to speak for all these other folks that are not talking. So that's the way it is.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Tad Johnson, a member of the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa. My sister Lee and I spoke with him in August of 2022, shortly after he was appointed to the University of Minnesota's Board of Regents, becoming the first Native person to be a part of the school's governing body.
When you talk about your new position as regent, regents articulate a vision for the university. And are there specifics when it comes to relationships with tribes and Native people? And is there that, like, that reciprocity? So the university benefits and Native people benefit. Do you see that happening?
So that is kind of what I devoted my post-tribal attorney career to, was trying to see how the university could work with tribes. And so In creating like the Master of Tribal Administration and Governance program, we went out and talked to tribal administrators and leaders for 2 years. And the university was kind of, hey, I thought you were going to develop a program. I said, I am, but I can't do it without these folks. And so what came to the top of their list was HR issue, whether they were answering phones or they were the tribal leader. They all said, well, every HR problem lands on my desk. And then it was ethics issues. And it seemed like, you know, they felt like a lot of folks on the tribal council or their boss had ethics issues. And so anyway, they also wanted federal Indian law, principles of tribal sovereignty, tribal finance, accounting, and budgets. And so we rolled that all into a program that was palatable. And everybody said, well, got through the Board of Regents, everybody said you're going to get two or three people your first year. We had 30 applicants, and a lot of them were folks we consulted with. And so, and that became a success. We just graduated cohort 10. So I got to hood cohort 10. There were a few cohorts I missed because of COVID. But anyway, I learned that talking to tribes and Native American folks help create better programs at UMD. So then the Fond du Lac came to me and said, what about developing one for natural resources? So we did the same method. We talked with tribes for 3 years. And then I went down to talk with the Board of Regents about the American Indian Advisory Boards. And they sent me out to talk with tribes about that. And what the tribes said was, yeah, of course there should be American Indian Advisory Boards, but how come we have Keith Ellison, Tim Walz, Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith on speed dial, and our congressmen and our state representatives, but we don't know how the University of Minnesota operates. We don't know who the president is. And I said, oh, and there's also the Board of Regents. And I said, what's that? And I said, those are the people the president reports to. And they said, why aren't we dealing with them? So I brought that back, and I got absolutely nowhere with the Kaler administration. But when President Gable came in and Michael Goh came in as vice president of equity and diversity, he was the guy who said, you know, I want you to come to work with me. And I did. And so then President Gable started meeting with the tribes, the American Indian Advisory Boards, all thanks to President Gable, got reinstated because they had existed on all the campuses before. It's just that during the previous administration, they hadn't. So it didn't take that much of a push to, you know, the university wants to do the right thing. It's just like they needed directions. And then I pointed out that this is going to sound counterintuitive, but I said, you shouldn't have me in this position. You should have a tribal leader type. Like the model was Peterson Zah at Arizona State University being directly in the president's cabinet. And they were like, who do you mean? And I said, a Karen Diver type. In fact, I can't think of anybody better than Karen Diver. She's got a graduate degree from Harvard. She left leadership of her tribe honorably and became an advisor to the president of the United States. And as soon as she left, a university hired her. Then usually happens to great American Indian professors, University of Arizona picked her up right away. And I said, why isn't that the University of Minnesota? Why aren't we doing that? And so then President Gable and Karen met and they really hit it off. And, you know, they asked me, do you mind if we hire her as your boss? And I said, no. I said, I'm a tribal attorney. I'm in need of a tribal leader. So yeah, hire her, make her my boss. That'd be great. So they went through a hiring process. They interviewed a couple other folks, but I mean, Karen was such an obvious choice. So she got the job. And now that Karen, you know, since Karen was there, I felt like, okay, it's kind of okay for me to leave now. So I was going to, and now ironically, Karen reports to the president and the president reports to me. So, but anyway, I think they're friends and of mine, and I want to work closely with them. And I think the president has done many great things besides getting the university through COVID and then through all that happened after George Floyd. And I don't know, it's a moment in history in Minnesota unlike any other. We have And in America, I mean, the first Secretary of Interior, who's a Native American, is in place, the first Lieutenant Governor, the first Native American on the Minnesota Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals. It's a moment unlike any other. But my job now is to be somebody who can speak up for what happens here and in the rest of Minnesota and make sure that the needs of working people and Native Americans and the 8th District and all Minnesotans are heard at the Board of Regents.
I guess I'm just curious, you know, if you had any final thoughts, maybe for people who want to get in, who might want to try to find their voice, but, you know, may have to speak in front of people, may have to, like, take an extra step. Like, do you have any words for them?
Yeah. My mentor was a guy named Frank Ducheneau, and his nephew Wayne now operates the Native Governance Center, and I was on their board for a long. I was one of their founding members. And I was going to go out and speak at the National Congress of American Indians. He said, "You give the legislative update this time." And I'd been with him all of 10 months or something. And I said, "Geez, I'm not good at public speaking." And he said, "Well, when it comes to legislation on the House of Representatives during the 101st Congress, who knows more than you do?" And I said, "Oh, I didn't look at it that way." He said, "You know more than they do, and your job is to share it with them. And so go do that." I'll leave you with that.
Miigwech, so much for your time. And we hope to keep in touch and maybe get a little update further down the road as you get settled in. Possibly.
Glad to come back. that's not a problem. Jimmy Gwet.
I mean, I feel like, man, there's so much more we can talk about. But again, we can keep in touch. But it's great, you know. I like that, you know. If you know a lot about the subject, like, you just got to get out there and talk about it.
I really appreciated Tad Johnson's input and also encouragement. That means a lot.
Thank you to Tad Johnson, a Boise Fort Band of Chippewa citizen who is the first Native person to be appointed to the University of Minnesota Board of Regents.
I'm Leah Lem.
I'm Cole Primo.
Miigwech for listening.
Giga Wadman.
Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
When it comes to mental health, connecting with others can be a way forward. Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connection as a comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug. Together, we can find ways to create a path forward. For more information, visit mentalhealth.org.
KFAI is proud to present Durand Bernard at the Fine Line on Friday, September 22nd. With a sound that has been coined as gangster musical theater, Durand Bernard is one part Little Richard, one part Rick James, plus a heavy dash of powerhouse vocals and witty lyrical storytelling. The result is uniquely Durand, your favorite singer's favorite singer. Omaha-based Geronel opens the show. Tickets for Durand Bernard can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Welcome to Counter Stories, a program by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Halili, owner of The Other Media Group, Counter Stories producer and VP of programming at Ampers.
Anthony Galloway, pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota, and partner at the Dendros Group.
And I'm Don Eubanks, member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians and associate at Dendros Group.
And we have a special guest joining us today as we continue our legislative wrap-up, and I'll have her introduce herself.
So I'm Jamie Becker Finn. I'm a state representative here in the Roseville area. Represent Roseville, most of Roseville, half of Shoreview, but I am Leech Lake Ojibwe descendant, grew up in the Cass Lake area up north, and I am the current House Judiciary Finance Chair in the legislature.
Thank you for joining us. Today we're recording from Maka Coffee in Roseville, and it is also our first in-person recording in over a year, at least. I think the last time was when we were in Mille Lacs. 2 years,
because the last time we were live was up in Mille Lacs.
That's right.
So I'm happy to see all your faces in real life again. Unfortunately, Luz couldn't be with us, but I saw her face in real life a few months ago. So last week we took a break from our legislative wrap-up, but this week we are back to talk about the public safety package / gun control measures. Can you give us kind of a brief?